in January, as the church turned the corner and we began a new season and a new start, we began to walk through some preparatory things for us as we began this new year. We spent several months since January walking through seasons and then through seeking and then through serving. And this month we've been looking at seeing. And that's a progression. As we began to seek the Lord in a new way, as the church began to turn the corner and began to go forward and began to develop what we thought we were, that the God had planned for us, and began to seek that out. As we began to seek that, then we found that we were able to begin to serve in those areas that He's called us to. And my heart is this, that we know that when God works, it becomes evident. You see, I can look at some of you, and you are the evidence of God at work. Because I knew some of you back yonder. And God has done a miracle. But as we walk through seeing, we've been walking through this concept of seeing God. And I'm going to be honest with you. About 10 o'clock last night, after having worked on this for a week, I said, Lord, I'm just going to throw this in the trash and we're just going to wing it. Because I really have struggled this week. And to be the encouragement that she is, my beloved wife said this to me this morning. She said, you better be good or I'm going to go to sleep, because I've had a long week. It's been a long week for all of us. And so this morning, I want to do this. I want to talk about seeing God. And I want to ask you this question this morning. Can we see God? Now, hang on before you answer. I'm not talking about seeing the evidence of God. Because the evidence of God surrounds us. Romans chapter 1 says everything about His nature, everything about creation speaks to us that there is a God. But can we actually see God? So we're going to do this morning. And I mentioned this to you before. Sometimes we can think that we've seen God. Back in 1977, her name was Maria Rubio. At 6 a.m. in her house just outside of Hobbs, New Mexico, she was fixing breakfast for her husband, making tortillas. And as she turned the tortilla over, there was an image that came up on it. And she realized that it was Jesus. At first, she didn't know what to do. She called her daughter. Her daughter looked at it. She called her husband. Her husband looked at it. And by the end of the day, people began to come to their house to see Jesus in a tortilla. Ultimately took it to a priest at the Catholic Church, and they began to have this whole huge, this article that I read this out of was out of like Time magazine or Life magazine. I mean, it became a national phenomenon that you could go to this church and see Jesus in a tortilla. I'm not talking about that kind of things, because the truth is, can we see God? Will we ever be able to see God? And if we do, will it change anything or change everything? And what does God look like? That brings us to a dilemma. Because here's what it said. It doesn't matter what some lady sees in a tortilla. The only thing that matters to answer that question is one thing. Do you know what that is? What does the book say? This is the only authoritative set of instructions that we have. And in the midst of that, what does the book say? And that brings us to a real dilemma. Because I want you to see this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 says this, no one can ever see God. And then we flip over to Matthew, and in Matthew chapter 5, it says this, that the pure in heart will see God. That's a dilemma. We can't see God, or we can see God. Is that a mistake? Is that a contradiction in the Bible? Well, the answer is this. Because we may not be able to understand something does not invalidate the truth of God's Word. But we can understand this, if you'll hang with me for a minute. I want you to picture with me this morning, because some of you can relate to this. I promise you, somebody can relate to this. I'm coming home from Dallas on I-45. My goal is to get to Conroe, Texas. But I decide to make a little pit stop. The older we get, some of us have to make more pit stops than others, and even more often than others. But the folks that are with me say, I want to make a pit stop. Now, what I want to do is, because this is not the crux of my sermon, but I think this is a detour that we need to take. Coming home from Dallas, there's two places to make a pit stop. One is Woody's Smokehouse in Centerville, and the other is Bucky's from the pits of hell. No. See, Bucky's is an hour's pit stop. That's a major detour, at least an hour. Woody's is a 10-minute stop. You go in, you use the bathroom, you get a soft drink, you get a piece of beef jerky, you get back in the car, and you're on the road. I want our detour this morning to be a Woody's detour, not a Bucky's detour. Because here's what I want you to see. This morning, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16 says this, who hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and glory for everlasting. Amen. Does that mean nobody can ever see God? Why can't we see God? Let me give you three quick things. Stay with me in this verse. Number one, it says this, because he who hath immortality. Now stay with me because this is important. There's only one being, one entity, one anything that has the possession of immortality. It's his. He owns it. It's his nature. It's who he is. And that is sovereign God. You say, wait a minute, I thought we had immortality. If we have immortality, it's not part of who we are, it's been given to us. By the way, you're not immortal in your humanity. The good news is this, and we'll get to it in a minute. If you've come to know Christ as your Savior and have faith in Him, He's imputed to you not only His salvation, but He's imputed to you the immortality of God as part of your destiny for the future. But in ourselves, we cannot see God because of the fact that He's immortal. I can tell you this now. Y'all have already got me started. The immortality. Not only does he possess immortality, but he possesses illumination. It says this, with me, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach. The illumination of God. That word dwelling means there is this, that's where he resides. It implies cohabitation. It doesn't mean that they're just staying for a visit. God doesn't just stay for a visit in immortality or in illumination. That's where He lives. The Bible says this, God is light, and in Him is no darkness. This is the God who spoke, and out of His mouth came the illumination of the universe. Let there be light. It doesn't mean that light came into existence. It meant that into this creation, the illumination of His immortality and of His human began to be revealed. And then as we go a little farther along, it says, and God spoke, and the stars and the heavens came into being. We don't have time to go there, but go look up Canis Majoris. That's the big dog, by the way. That's the largest star that we've ever seen. You couldn't take our sun and put it inside of it and even find it. It is so large. That's who God is. Do you know why we can't see Him? Because coming into that presence in ourselves, we would be destroyed. We can't see God in ourselves because of His immortality, because of His illumination. And then it says this, and no man can see God because in Him, in ourselves, it is inaccessible for us to get there. We can't do it. What does he say? You can't even approach him. No man has seen, nor no man can see. But time out, wait a minute. What about when we get to heaven? We've laid aside, can we see in ourselves? What does he say? In him no man can see. Will we see Jesus? Absolutely. But what Timothy is being told here is this. You have to understand, in your human nature, even if you were to get to heaven, because of these characteristics, you could never look and see God face to face. In yourselves. No one can see God. That's the foundation. But wait. Turn the page. What does he say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8? And you're familiar with this, that a passage Jesus is teaching. We call them the Beatitudes. And here's what he says. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, what happens? Was that a mistake? Was Paul telling Timothy something untrue? No, but listen, something changes from the normal humanity of who we are. Inaccessible to God because of his illumination, because of his immortality, all those kinds of things. But something changed. What changed? Jesus said, the pure in heart. Do you know what that means in the Greek? It means those that are clean. How do you become clean in God's eyes? There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. We are made pure. We're made whole. We're brought into a living relationship with him. And as such, we then have a transformation that moves us from inability to ability. Do you know what 1 Corinthians 15 says? Turn over there real quick. Let me give you a picture, and we're going to be back on the road. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You've read this passage, but when I read this week, it caught me off guard. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth because there's this great fear. What happens when I die? What happens when I leave this life? And here's what he says, chapter 15, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You see, there's a transformation. In my humanity, I cannot see God, but when I put on Christ, I put off the corruption, and I put on incorruption, and I put away the mortality, and I put on immortality. So when this corruptible have put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall the saying be brought to pass that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What does that mean? It means this. That when I came into this relationship, I came into this walk, I came in as a dead living person, dead man walking. But in Christ, not only did I secure salvation for eternity, but I secured the ability by the transformation of the gospel in my life to put off the corruption, to put off the mortality, to put on incorruption. And then because he possesses immortality, he turns and says, Karen Foster, not only you're saved, but I give you immortality. And when I do, guess what? We will be able to see him face to face in our immortality. By the way, that's only accessible through Jesus. Let me give you one more real quick. Revelation chapter 10. I'm sorry, let me back up. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. This is after everything. This is after everything. The end of the book. Revelation 22 says this, as soon as I can find it. I know it's here. It was here this morning when I looked for it. Revelation 22, come on, pages. Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4. Talking about that eternal place where the immortal illumination men and women of God live. And it says this, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And what? They shall see his face. We will never have to worry once we get to heaven because of Christ about whether or not we'll be able to see God. Because we've put on immortality, we've put on the incorruptible, and in Christ, seeing God becomes a natural part of who we are. We don't have to start looking for tortillas or cloud formations or anything else. We will have the privilege, because of who He is and who we are in Him, to walk every single day looking God face to face. That is awesome. Okay, get back in the car. We're getting back on the highway. Because we're going to come on down the road a little farther. Are you ready? Because we live here. So what does it mean to see God here?
What does it mean to see God here? It means this, that we are here, and God's called us here for folks to be able to see Him. So the question then becomes what? How? How do folks see Him? That means this. If I'm looking for God, and I don't have a tortilla, how do I find God? If I can't see this side of heaven face to face because of who He is, does it mean that we can't find Him? We can't see Him? People can't know Him? Not at all. It means this. As 242 Church goes into a new season, a new year, it begins to be paramount for us to say, if folks are going to see God in 2026 in 242 neighborhoods, it's going to be paramount for us to be the ones that represent Him. Are we the only ones? Absolutely not. But we are the ones that are here. And as we see that, as we walk in that, God is working to do those kinds of things. How do we see that? Oh, by the way, you know how we do it? We meet the church at 242. We meet the church at 242. See, the Bible says this, we're ambassadors. Let me just share this with you. This is interesting. When you think of the Sanhedrin, what do you think of? The bad guys?
Yes, you were religious.
And the truth is, they weren't the bad guys. They were men who were seeking to serve God with all their heart. They dedicated their lives. They went to church more than we do. They read their scriptures more than we do. They memorized the law more than we do. Every jot and tittle was part of. Now, did they misrepresent it? Did they corrupt it? Absolutely. But here's the thing. Reason I say that. The word for ambassador that we read in the scriptures where it said we're ambassadors for Christ is the same context of who those folks that served on the Sanhedrin were. They were the ones that were there to represent God. In 242 corridor, from Glen Eagles to Harper's Preserve to Evergreen to all the surrounding areas, God has called us not be the Sanhedrin, but to be the ambassadors for Christ. When I'm standing in line at Walmart, who am I representing? Christ. When we find opportunities to do ministry, drive-through prayer service, well, it's our job to be there. What if folks don't take opportunity to participate in it? Then here's what I know. When I stand before God, I'm not going to have to answer them. My job is to be who He's called me to be. Who He's called me to be, to do what He's called me to do. We are the ambassadors. Why? Because God's using us to look like Him. That's a scary thought. You see, the truth is this. If we are the representation of what God looks like in our community and we do a horrible job of it, then the folks that are living around us, the folks that don't know Him, the folks that still have the incorruptible and have not put on, or still have the corruptible and not put on incorruption, when they see God by looking at us, they say, God doesn't have much to do, does He? Doesn't have anything going on, does He? Doesn't represent well, does He? Our job is to be those that represent Him and who we are and what He says. We are to be that. By the way, there's a verse in Romans chapter 10 that kind of will become our theme in 2 weeks. Are you familiar with that passage? You probably are. You may not know that you are. As soon as I can get over here to it. Romans chapter 10. And by the way, this passage in Romans chapter 10 is not an excuse. It's not a get out of jail card free because of the wording. I'm having trouble getting my Bible to turn to me. Romans chapter 10. Are you familiar with that passage? Okay. I'm almost there. Maybe I'm almost there. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. How do people learn to see God? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a messenger. I know some of it says preacher, but the word there literally means a messenger, an ambassador. That's the problem with a lot of churches. It's just the preacher's job to look like God. The rest of us can look like we want to. And the truth is this, how will they know? Now, I may not have to be accountable for those folks that don't stop when I'm doing ministry, but if I'm not doing ministry, then I am accountable. I am accountable. See, here's what I know. Seeing God, let me very quickly finish this. Seeing God here means the evidence of God is visible in us. One of the things, I have to be honest with you, one of the things when I came in January was this. God, don't let me be so forward-thinking, so progressive in my ideology that I wear us out in 3 months. We're going to do this here, we're going to do this here, we're going to do this here, we're going to do this, we're going to do ministry. And then 3 months, it's like, I'm ministried out. I need a break. I got to go home and rest a while. But it means this, as God opens the doors, we're going to step through it. See, the evidence is this. The first Sunday that I was here in January, I think there were like 28 of us.
There's
33 plus what's in the back. You know, that's almost a 50% growth in 5 months. What is God doing? He's moving. He's calling. He's opening the doors. He's bringing families to us to be a part of who we are. Last Sunday, if you weren't here, the Bucks joined the church. Now, here's the thing. They've been parking in the guest parking. Oh, they get two. Park over that. It's time to say, you know what? We're still waiting for God to do that. But we're going to be busy in ministry. We're going to be busy pursuing so that when somebody walks in the door, they can go, wow, God was there today. I ran into those folks at Walmart. Guess what? They were kind to me today. They represented the Lord well. Why? Because the only way folks will be able to see God is because they see Him in us in a way that represents Him well. Now, let me throw this out to you very quickly. Two things. The next step on the table back here is a recommendation that will come to the church in 2 weeks on our how will they know if we don't go Sunday to be voted on. And it's this. The potential for us at no cost financially to partner with a brand new church planter who's in the Woodlands to begin a Spanish language ministry here that would grow into a Spanish language church that we would partner with. Now, my habla español is two things. Taco Bell and Don Escar Obaño, where's the bathroom in? Beyond that, I'm troubled. But when you look at the culture around us, there's a need for that. And I know many of you, and your Spanish is no more than mine. How are we going to reach them? How will they know if we don't go? And Brother Pablo will be here. Great young man. By the way, his confirmation has come through the North American Mission Board by the Southern Baptist Convention. His salary for 3 years is completely paid by them. We're not going to be out of finances. All we're going to do is begin to have a ministry here that will become part of who we are as God begins to grow them. The other thing is this. Andy mentioned this. You know the World Cup's coming, right? On the first Saturday of June, right out here, we're going to have a World Cup soccer children's event. We're trying to partner with a church over in East Texas. If they would send workers to help us, we're going to say, listen, some of you may love soccer. I don't even know how to play soccer. But you know what? It's not about that. It's going to be this. Our community is filled with people, especially the younger children, who love soccer. We're going to let them kick a ball through a goal and get a prize. We're going to let them come and dribble through some cones and get a prize. We're going to give them a popsicle and a bottle of water. We're going to meet the families and begin to minister to them. Why? Because we're going to look like Jesus in our community going forward. Along with everything else. This morning, we were blessed to have a new unit start for Bible study. And I'm told that Brother Ryan, where is he at? And Brother Andy, some of you don't know, he hates that term, so that's why I use it. Brother Ryan and Brother Andy kicked off a brand new unit of study this morning. VBS is coming up. We're going to do VBS with a fresh emphasis from the way it's been in the past 2 years. All those kinds of things. Why? Because can we see God? We can see God by seeing who we are in Christ. Will we see God face to face? Absolutely. If you're in Christ. Not if you're a good person. Not if you got baptized. Not if you're a member of a church. Not if you went through catechism. Not if you, you know, have a document, somebody. But it means this, that there was a point in time that I came to understand my need for Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I confessed my sins. I put my faith and trust in Him. And He secured my eternity so that the incorruptible, illuminated, inaccessible God of the universe became my Father. And I'm in Him, and He is in me. Church, I'm telling you, going forward, 240 Church is going to see and strive to look like God. And as we do, what did Jesus say? When I'm lifted high and lifted up, what will He do?
I will draw all people into me.
I wasn't going to say this, but I will. If people come to this church because of us, they're coming for the wrong reason. Even though you have a great pastor. Not a single, man, y'all said amen up to that point. No, if they come, it ought to be because they sense that the Lord is here. Because they say, man, something's going on in that church. God is doing some stuff there. They're busy serving, but the reason they're serving is because they love Him, not because they're doing a program and because they have personalities and because they do this and that. But God, can we see God? Yes. Can they see God? Yes. As long as we're diligent, as long as we're faithful, as long as we are going through the transformation of the renewing of our mind from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Are we ready? The answer for me is yes. Yes, yes, and more yes. What's it going to look like? What it looks like is not up to me. Aren't you glad that? Aren't you glad it's not up to you? It's up to you. You'll never get to Woody's. You'll never get to Bucky's. You'll never get to Conroe until you leave Dallas. Are we ready? And we pray this morning. Father, in this house this morning, men and women, we love You. Men and women and families who are saying, God, here am I. I want to be a part of seeing Your word. God, for whatever that You're calling folks to this morning, whether it's to find a church family, whether it's to be active as a part of a church family, whether it's to say, hey, I've given You this gift, I've given You this talent, I've given You this calling. If You're willing, I will give You a place to be active. God, we are not putting the doors on anything that You're in. Help us to pursue You. Help us to see in the days to come the growth that comes from faithfulness, not from programs. Help us to learn that this time in which we are seated in this building is a sacred place, but it's also a home place. It's a family place. Father, this morning, if there's folks here who maybe have been in church a long time, they may even call themselves part of the church at 242, but they've never been to a place of having Christ come into their life as their Savior, that this morning Your Holy Spirit would convict and that they would begin to realize, Lord, I need Jesus more than anything if I'm ever going to see You. Let us never settle for a tortilla, Jesus, that give us the reality of a living Jesus. God, we thank You for what You've done today and what You will do. Receive our worship and our praise and our adoration in Christ's name. Amen.